Hi, and welcome back to the Remarkably Me podcast. I'm your host, Anika Apple. I'm really looking forward to this episode today because I have the opportunity to introduce you to a friend of mine, Zachariah Mihobe. And what I love about Zach's story is it is one of overcoming incredible circumstances to live a remarkable life. Zach is going to share a lot of details about his life today. It's a very personal story that is rooted in the experiences that he had as a child and how it created a pathway for him to navigate as truly what he pronounces as a survivor of trauma and experiences in his childhood to become who he is today. Zach is an overcomer. And by day, he works as a wealth management certified professional, a financial planner who has experience at the top financial management organizations in the industry, and has also graduated with honors from his bachelor's program in finance. You get the drift. He is highly decorated and super experienced in his field. But beyond that, Zach is working on a breathwork certification, loves to do hot yoga, does jiu-jitsu, and is an expert in so many things. The thing that I think stands out the most to me is that he has expertise in what it's like to survive. One of the things that connected Zach and I when we first met, we actually met on a flight, and when we started to talk, what we very quickly heard or shared was a love and interest in breathwork. And as we sat and talked, Zach shared so much information with me. As a matter of fact, by the end of our flight, I had homework to do. And Zach had shared so many podcasts and things to read. And he introduced me to Qigong. Through really talking through a very personal experience that he doesn't share in the podcast, but of what transformation could happen. What I have found in Zach and in the lives of so many others that you will hear through our podcast is the ability to take the experiences that you have in life and to learn things, to navigate your way through it, get the learnings, and then package them in such a way that they can be tools for transformation of others. That's exactly what Zach did for me that day on our flight. Now, Zach is a coach and supports people in many different areas. Obviously, he has an experience, as I mentioned, in financial planning. However, he is here today to share his story. His expertise in that space is not really what is at the heart of our conversation today, but the other areas in which he has expertise as well, which are also a part of what he offers as a coach. It would be important also for me to mention that Zach is here sharing his own ideas and perspective, and they're not representative of the organization that he works for. So in a moment, I'm going to move us straight into our conversation here at the Remarkably Me podcast. But I want you to take note of a couple things that are really important as you listen to the episode. As Zach shares his story, I think you'll be able to identify with different places, the rise and fall, the challenges that he shares, the experiences that were his parents, but how they impacted him, the people who he reached out to for help, and their emotional availability to be present for him. And what I love is the way he tells this story helps us have such empathy for what it's like to be in those difficult places and moments in our own life and not know how to show up in a way that others might need us, or to show up in exactly what is needed at the moment. And a lot of times we don't think about our own healing journey as a part of what enables us to show up for others, but it is. Many of us have figured out ways to be present for people, and it's like, but I'm there for you. But to be there for someone else and unhealed does neither of you a true benefit. You might be there holding space, but it may not be delivering what you are capable of giving to the person in that moment that they need. Zach says something really powerful about wanting to matter to the person that mattered most to him to matter to. I think I messed that up quite a bit, but but the point is to be loved, to be connected and recognized as mattering to who matters to you, is such an basic and foundational part of our human needs and desires. And I would tell you that through my own experiences, through the stories that I know from my mother who's a nurse psychotherapist, through the people that I have in my circle, my life, my own children, this is one of the things we struggle with as humanity. There is a need for us to see each other, to stand in the gap for one another, to be present for one another. But in order to do that, we have to do our own work first. And I believe you'll hear that in some of the stories that Zach shares, but it shows up even more in who he became through the experiences that he survived through. See, he turned his story into one that triumphs. And now it just spends so much of his energy gaining the information and creating zeal for life that it's palpable for the people who have the opportunity to connect with him. Don't forget at the end of the episode to take a look at the show notes, and you'll be able to see the ways to contact Zach to find out more about what coaching with him looks like. And without further ado, I give you the episode and introduce you to my friend, Zachariah Mihopi. Zach, you're here.
I'm here.
You are here. How exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so grateful. I can't wait for the audience to have an opportunity to meet you and get to know you and to hear your healing story. But thank you for taking your time to come to the Remarkably Me podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
No, it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny. I think about the way that we met and how serendipitous it was, is, and so many things that unfold in that conversation, and I can't wait to get into it today.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was a lot.
How long was our flight?
Atlanta to Dallas, D.C., so whatever that is, maybe an hour and a half or
maybe two.
Maybe two.
Yeah, and like we filled the space, just like we're going to do now on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So, Zach, I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Tell our audience a little bit about who you are and your background. What things do you want them to know about you?
Well, just been through a lot. Didn't have a ton of help early on in my life. I mean, I'm almost 32 now, 32 this month. So it's been mostly intense suffering to then not. Mm-hmm. And the knot has been like a very small slice of that, and the suffering has been a huge chunk of that.
Yeah.
So I would say now I'm at the point where it feels like an actual victory, like I'm at the end of the rainbow. Well, at least that huge rainbow. So that's probably the most important thing for somebody to know about me now. Yeah.
I can't wait to dig in and talk about so many of the things that you shared, and you had so many aha moments that I want to bring to light in our conversation today. But tell us a little bit about where you grew up and anything you want to share about the early days.
I mean, life was pretty good in the beginning. I grew up in Atlanta, so where we are now. Yep. I spent most of my life here, but, you know, upper middle class, went to good elementary school, loved middle school. My parents were still together by that point. I grew up on a cul-de-sac, a lot of kids my age, you know, never a dull moment. So, yeah, I mean, age like 1-ish to 12 was, I mean, soccer, roller hockey, any sport I touched, I enjoyed. A lot of good summer camp experiences.
So you were really active.
Yeah. Yeah, good hand-eye coordination. So, yeah, I've pretty much been good with most things that I've played or touched or whatever. So it was easy to make friends, easy to stick out, you know, had a healthy ego at the time. So it just was, just life was good. Life was pretty good. Was good at school, too. So I really didn't have anything in the early days that I was bad at.
That's like the trifecta. Like, you know, school was good, family was good, and all the different sports and all
was
that
decent
stuff.
Looking at the time too.
Oh yeah. Well,
maybe,
I mean,
you know, it peaked early and then it's been a slow descent since that point.
Not even. Don't even go there. Absolutely not.
But I had girls that, you know, were into me, and basically any girl that I was into liked me too. I mean, it was pretty easy.
I love that.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what changed. Like, let's just get into it. Let's get into it.
Everything
and
changed.
Let's talk about the healing story.
Yeah, I mean, my parents got divorced.
Yeah. How old were you?
I was 8th grade, so maybe 12-ish, 13.
Okay.
They got divorced, and then, you know, it wasn't amicable. Mm-hmm. My mom took over 5 days out of the week custody for me, and my dad was just the weekends, but he was traveling a lot, so wasn't hanging out with him as much. And very early on, I started hearing like terrible stories about my dad from my mom. Mm. You know, she's airing his dirty laundry. Laundry that no one should know.
Wow.
Mind you, not a 12 or 13 year old. Like, things I can't even say out loud on this podcast that are that bad. So that was alarming. So disconnected from my dad pretty quickly there, because he's the enemy now.
Right.
And my mom was, I mean, suicidal, like straight up. And she's an honest woman. She's a truth teller, and she's got a strong backbone, and she's a fighter. So it's not like when she says she's done, mm-hmm.
she's done.
It's not like
I understand that.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, the day that she told me, and by the way, this is not an insult to her or anything, but she just straight up told me, like, if I didn't have to raise you, I could either go live the life that I want to live, or I would just kill myself.
Wow.
Yeah, and you hear that early, and it's like, oh, wow, okay, so this is what we're doing now.
Wow. So how do you even make sense of that at, like, 12, 13 years old?
That didn't feel hard. Yeah, I don't know why. 'Cause she just came by it honestly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess like death and life and being here, not being on Earth, like has never felt like something. This doesn't feel like my only home, planet Earth. So I guess I don't feel like this is like the end all be all. So that wasn't difficult. It was just difficult. It became supremely important to me to figure out how to get this woman to change her mind.
Yes.
Because very much so, I just wanted to be wanted by the person I wanted to want me.
Uh-huh.
You know? So...
Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, I just put all my energy into that going forward, and it was a losing battle, but I didn't know that at the time, you know?
So talk about the continuation and your growth and the evolution of the things that you experience as a result.
There wasn't a lot of growth for a while. I mean, 13 to 20 years old was basically just getting torched by life from the inside. So there was no growth for that 7 years. I spent a lot of my lunches in high school in the bathroom, and not the bathroom like near the cafeteria, like way out. No one knew who I was in high school. No one knew how to help me, 'cause I didn't know where to go for the right help. So yeah, it was 7 years of just getting absolutely smacked, and feeling very afraid, very alone, very unable to make sense of what was in my head. And then I eventually called my uncle, who's my mom's brother, mm-hmm. who she very much distanced me from and said he's a horrible person and blah, 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 whatever. I mean, she had her own pain with him.
Yeah.
Fine. And I just called him. I had left University of Georgia, and I just said, I bottomed out. I don't know what to do. So I moved to Houston. I ended up getting checked into like one of the best mental health hospitals after that point. And my grandpa is very successful. So hundreds of thousands of dollars was being pumped into me, which is not something most people get,
yeah.
you know, at that point in the road. So I had great therapists, great psychoanalysts, great programs, the right psychiatrist, blah, blah, blah. So that helped a lot.
It's so good that that you asked for help. And I know that had to be such a risky feeling, like with the isolation and then looking for belonging, which you had in spades earlier on.
Yeah.
And then to find yourself at that time where it's like, how do I connect, right? Mm. How do I ask for the help and support? What do you think helped you get to that point?
Desperation.
Mm.
Yeah, I can take no credit for that. I mean, that was the last call I was going to make, probably. I mean, if he hadn't picked up and been able to help, this story ends there, you know?
And I think that is such an important thing because we sometimes don't recognize the role that we have in the lives of others. Like when our ability to be present for them,
yeah,
to hear what they're not saying as well as what they are saying.
Exactly.
And then to tap in to say, like, you know, what is the way that I am designated to support this person? Thank goodness that your grandfather was the support that he was, and your uncle saw the need and stepped in to help you.
Well, he was in a relationship at the time with the woman that he's now married, who's my aunt, and mm-hmm. she's a child psychiatrist. So that was very helpful in him knowing that, first of all, those human beings exist, which he's very well educated, so it's not like he probably didn't know that professionals exist in that space, mm-hmm. but having a real relationship with someone, you know, it starts coloring that book of like, oh, okay, this is what this can look like, and here's the value. So I think had she not been in his life, I don't know that I probably would have ended up at that mental health hospital as quickly as I did, because she worked there at the time.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, it was complete luck.
Divine.
Yeah. It's something. It was something. It was something that was not of my own doing.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like where I think it's like, you know, our source of all things, however we individually determine it, it's like there is always that path that is available to us should we choose to continue on it.
Yeah.
And it's like the I call them choice points, these moments where it's like you have some decisions in front of you, and then those decisions are going to take you down a particular path. You know, thank goodness what you chose was to ask for help, and then it got you the help and support that you needed.
Yeah, and it was tricky because a lot of times I was asking for help before, it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
You know, my parents were quite simply, and it's so nice to be able to say this without any kind of pain or anger about it, just were not equipped for the task at hand. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like parenting is so funny because it's the thing that people spend the least amount of time training for. And yet, I don't know that there are that many things that are more important than like ushering a human into existence and developing them and growing them. So it's shocking that humans can then create other humans without even like figuring out who they are first, or developing themselves, or conquering their own demons, or like figuring out what they want to be in this world before you start downloading all your thoughts and beliefs onto another human being that doesn't even know who you are and is relying on you in totality for their safety and existence. I mean, they were not equipped for that task.
Yeah. It's so, I chuckle because my mom, who you know is a nurse psychotherapist, and I just had this conversation about 2 weeks ago. And she was talking about the conversation she had with another adult, who I will not name. But she was saying to that person, like, they were very cavalier about, like, you have a kid and they're okay and everything's fine. And she's like, no. Like, she talks about her story and how it was her mission to figure out how to be a good parent.
That was your mom's
that
mission?
That was my mom. Like, her mission. And I mean, I kind of think she did a really good job at that. Like, I really do. And I don't mean because of how I turned out. I mean because of what my experience was as a child. But you're right. So many people don't recognize the impact. And in addition to the stuff that they're downloading into that person from their own perspective and experience, we also have whatever is already embedded in our DNA. So, you know, if you think about it, it's like from whatever parenting roles, mentorship roles, and things that we have, it's important to not pour ourselves onto other people, but also to take stock and identify what they might already be experiencing. Like, what's on their life? What's in their life? Like, there's so much there to explore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think you can properly do that until you have probably done that for yourself.
100%.
Yeah.
Right.
So
100%.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny. My parents, now that I understand them better, are very much did the best that they could. Mm-hmm. But I love knowing now, and this has made my relationships easier with all kinds of people, like good intentions and your best intentions and your best effort is not good enough mm-hmm. all the time. Like trying your hardest, giving as much effort as you can, like you want a golden star for it, but I'm sorry, it doesn't always hit the mark,
yeah.
which is fine. Mm-hmm. But also, that's a learning point. It's like not everybody is equipped to help everybody. Very much not.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah.
So how did you get to that revelation?
Well, I mean, look, I was getting hundreds of thousands of dollars pumped into me, you know, for years and years and years. I had a therapist of 10 years named Amanda Yoder that was like just a real woman. Mm-hmm. Real woman who had done it, suffered, been at the bottom, bathed in lots of things at a low place, and had risen to like real strength. Yeah. You know, so she was like my leader for a decade, you know, just like peeling back all these layers of pain and feeling alone. And her most important thing was not only helping me become someone I respect, but also that respects others, takes accountability for things, but also feels very seen and understood by someone who was her. So she never gave up on me. She never tried to get me to do a bunch of things. It was very much just like, hey, where are you at? Let me understand what's going on and let me just meet you where you are. But also, I'm not going to just baby you. I'm going to develop you.
I love that.
So, yeah.
Thank goodness for her commitment to her own health and development, but then also what she was able to bring about for you. And
true professional.
Yeah.
She was equipped for the task at hand. She was equipped for the task at hand.
So let's transition to how you've been equipping yourself for the task at hand. It's one of the things for me, like you sat down next to me on the plane.
Yeah.
And, you know, next thing you know, I'm like, I just met a new best friend. Like, it felt like we'd known each other for decades.
Yeah.
And what I loved about you is you started talking through all of these. You started speaking my language, first of all. But, you know, we're connecting about cold plunges, which I've never done, to be clear.
Done a lot of those.
You have. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about just the impact of brain and body connection, your love for fitness and what you have been exploring and growing there. I'd love to get into all that stuff. Where do you want to jump in?
Wherever you're most interested, you know.
Well, let's talk about your transformation. So coming out of the learning and the growth and everything that you did in that journey, it opened your eyes to some things. What are some of the things that you identified about yourself that have now started to reveal themselves as your purpose?
Well, it's weird. It's different because there are certain people that can't necessarily hear their own thoughts or spend enough time with them to know, to have like an intimate conversation with themselves constantly. Mm-hmm. That, for better or for worse, was not something I had to struggle with. Like every thought that has crossed my head for as long as I've been alive, I've seen it, touched it, bathed with it, wrestled with it, talked to it, and run from it, and then run from it again and again and again, and known that I was running from it again and again and again. So it's like there's no escape in my head. So it hasn't really been a thing of having to figure out what are the right things to think about or blah, blah, blah. It's been more of knowing what to do with all that information and grow myself. So I would say there are like a few pillars that I don't necessarily think applies to every human being, but it certainly applies to me, and I think it probably applies to a lot of people, is number one, and I'm just speaking from my own experience, so the you is me in this case, but if you don't feel like there's even one person on earth that actually cares that you're alive, that's problematic, you know? that's because I had a lot of intellect, a lot of ambition, a lot of introspection, and yet my mother didn't really want to have a child, so she didn't really want to be my mom anymore. And my dad was just emotionally out of touch. So there wasn't anyone that wanted me the way I wanted to be wanted, right? So if you don't have that, it's going to be very tough, I think, to just live. I think the other thing that you hopefully got to have that I have now and that I can give to others is it's one thing to like be able to see, like you said earlier, there's the conversations under the conversations. It's probably for people that are in pain, it's more important what they're not saying than what they are saying.
100% agree.
Right.
100%.
So if you can see the things that they're not saying, that's like step one. And if you're in pain and there's somebody else who can see what you're not saying, that's step one, because you're not saying it because you may not know what to say. You're not saying it because it may be embarrassing to say.
Don't
you're not
judge.
Saying it.
Yep.
Because you've said it so many times and nobody's listened that you just don't believe that anybody will care.
Listen, this is your podcast episode, not mine. Well, so you don't have to be all in my backyard. I'm just
saying. Right. So So that's important. Like, I very much feel that I'm a person now that can, I've always been a person who can see that somebody's not okay. And that's because I had to, it was imperative that I did that with my mom because the only chance I was going to have of her wanting me was me picking up on all these little cues and signals to make sure she's always happy and comfortable and whatever. So it was like a skill that was born out of not the right reasons, but it ended up being a thing that helps now. So I can see a human being for what they're not saying and giving off. Okay, that's important because you need that. And that's usually where parents fill in on that one. But if you just stop there, it's like you're just stopping there. You also need someone that I think has been through enough pain or suffering that they're the amount that they've experienced is either as much as you've experienced or more, because you can tell pretty quickly when someone is kind of like, oh, yeah, I understand, but
But they don't
you
really
don't
understand.
understand. And it's fine. People want to help and they want to connect, but for pain, it's very much like mental health is the funniest thing because when you go to the hospital and you have like an open gaping wound on your body, like you don't have to explain to people that you need help or like help paint a picture of there's a problem here. But with mental health, nobody can see
You
what's
can't
going
see it.
on. So you are literally in as much pain as like your whole leg is shattered in pieces, but you now have to be like your own advocate for explaining properly to someone who may or may not even be able to diagnose the problem and understand it. So it's very weird. So you need someone who can see that the A, what you're saying and what you're not saying is the equivalent of your leg is in 1,000 pieces right now. And you've been dealing with that for a large chunk of time.
So good.
Okay. So great. Let's say we have that. If you stop at those two things, then you stop at those two things. I think what the third thing that you need is someone, and these don't all have to be the same person, but in my case, I'm just at that point now where I can serve all three functions. You need someone that's going to be able to take your leg shattered in 1,000 pieces and then put it back together, not only in a way that's going to be helpful to return it back to factory settings, but also help you shape it into a leg that you actually like and you're actually interested in. And the leg is your life, you know? Like, if you don't have someone who can help you understand how to live life on your own terms and get you past pain and then into a life where you're just like straight up excited to be alive as yourself, what are we talking about?
And so how do you do that? How do you help people? I mean, I know how to help people do that, but how do you help people do that? Talk about how you have now transformed that into meeting people where they are. That's one of the things that I've heard you say a couple of times today, but I know is really integral in your story.
Yeah.
How do you help them meet them where they are and then help them to unfold the pieces of this life that they want to create?
Well, I'll tell you this much, I don't help everybody. Right? That's an important distinction because I only really help people that very much want to not be where they are. You know? So if you the only thing I require from another person on the other side is like a diehard commitment to wanting to not be where they are. Forget like anything else. If you're not dying to like dramatically be different than where you are and have like somewhat of an understanding of what that might look like, and even if you don't, are just you'd rather die than be this way, right? That's all I need as a starting point. From there, the first thing, and this was kind of tricky to figure out because I didn't know how much I was going to charge people for this sort of thing, and it felt very charging for this seems like it's a basic human right, so why am I even charging money for it? But also, I very much don't want to be living life on somebody else's terms or company, whatever, whatever. So at some point, I'm going to have to charge money so that I can sustain myself.
And it's your excellence. You're
Sure.
giving your genius to it. So,
True, true, but it's weird.
that's the exchange.
What I figured out was I sit down with someone and we just budget out their whole life financially first. Like, I need to see what you're spending your money on and where your money's going and how much is coming in, because from there, I'll even understand how much you can afford for this, right? So that's the starting point. Once we figure out that you have some excess cash or we can trim the fat somewhere else, cool. That's a starting point. And then from there's no set like, hey, on Tuesday we're going to do this, and on next Tuesday we're going to do that. It's very much just like, I need to understand where you are. I need to understand what you don't like about your life, and I need to understand where you want to go. And even if you don't know where you want to go, I just need to know what you want to change. From there, it's pretty easy.
And talk about that with what you have been doing in terms of personal training as well.
Like fitness stuff?
Fitness.
Yeah, I mean, I studied under a guy who was very good at form and making sure you don't hurt yourself, lifting, just supporting your body and also lifting weight that's heavier than your body. So that took like, I don't know, maybe a year and a half of just like pure focus and study from him on that. Because I think for me personally, I don't like being thin or frail or weak. Like physically, that's when I was in high school and all these girls that I wanted to notice me, who knows if it was for that reason, but I just didn't feel strong in my body. Like that for me is just, it has to happen. I just don't feel good if I don't feel strong. So yeah, I'm at the point now where I can basically help another human being build a good base with good form and not hurt themselves, and then basically develop their body muscularly however they want to.
Well, I love what you said to me, which was I can help anyone who wants to transform their body do that.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't have to
incredible.
Be weightlifting.
Yeah.
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 So what are some of the practices that you do to take care of yourself physically, mentally, spiritually?
Yeah.
You know, share a little bit about how you take care of Zach.
I love hot yoga. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love sweating. Like it's weird. The bottom of my feet get really soft and it's like my whole body is like that, but you're just like, I love extreme stuff. Like, that's why I jump in a lot of cold water, whatever. I just enjoy.
Tell people what a cold water plunge is for any of the listeners that have not experienced.
Yeah. Well, what it's supposed to be is getting in very cold water for not that long. Right. And I mean, we're talking like, I don't know, 40 degrees, 50 degrees, 60 degrees.
Yep.
I mean, water is like 60 degrees of water is colder than 60 degrees of air. So. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cold. 55, somewhere in there is pretty cold.
Yeah, because thinking of our body temperature at 98.7, and we're talking about it.
Never thought about it that way.
Right?
That's funny. But when I was in Copenhagen, where I was on the way to when I saw you, we ended up going to a spot that was like, it had a bunch of thermal baths, and one of them was extremely cold, and it was around, I think, like 45 degrees. And I stood in that for 11 minutes.
That is crazy. What
yeah. So I like that stuff because I like anything, hot yoga the same way. I like any physical activity where it takes 100% of your focus to not go crazy.
And it's intense and the intensity of it.
It is intense. Yeah. Yeah. So yoga forces me to breathe very steadily because yoga is not really about trying to do a bunch of cool stuff that you can put on Instagram and show people that you can like stand on your head or whatever. It's very much like the advanced yogis who do this seriously, they hold their breath through most of their poses for like the entire time. Breath is like very much a resource that you have to learn how to use productively. Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to breathe that often in a minute. So I'm kind of journeying through my breathwork certification right now. And I just love, America is very much a place where breath is like an accessory item or a luxury. And it's like, oh, wow, cool. You do breath work. Like that's very like hip and new and different. Everywhere else, especially in the East, like Asia, that's just a no brainer.
Yeah.
That's like buying cereal at the grocery store. You know, like if you don't know what breath is or how to use it, you're just, you either don't care or you just made the choice that you don't care.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, so that's number one. I do yoga a lot. And then I just started jujitsu because I just missed. I miss being in a situation in which like I'm either going to get rocked or I'm going to rock somebody else. And a lot of people are going to be watching that and there's pressure and there's stakes. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I'll weightlift too just to because you can't. Yoga, I was losing a ton of muscle and you just can't replicate that immediately with your body weight. So.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the ways that people can stay in contact with you? If our audience wants to connect with you and get to know more about what you do from a financial standpoint or, you know, the pieces of your healing journey, which I know have been healing to people listening today. I know you have validated things that they've felt and experienced.
Oh, good. In a way, because I want the people that find me to actually be the right people that are like actually looking for what I have. Because not everybody's a good fit for me and I'm not a good fit for everybody.
That's
so my email is probably the best way to get in touch with me.
Okay.
And it's just my first and last name at Gmail, which I guess will be in the show
notes.
We'll
put them in the show notes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then I have a Buy Me a Coffee link, which is just, you know, buymeacoffee.com/ my full name.
Excellent. We hope that everyone will buy you a coffee after this because
I love
your
coffee.
Sharing your healing journey is definitely going to be a part of their healing journey.
So. I hope so.
Thank you so much for
Thank
that.
You.
So before we close, you know, everything here that we do is about creating, helping people craft and create their remarkable lives. And a remarkable life is one where it is worthy of note. So if you think about creating, you talked about it earlier, it's like creating this life that you desire to live, that you're fired up for living, and leaving behind the artifacts that can be life-changing for yourself, your family, for the generations to come.
Interesting.
So what are two or three things that you would say to our viewers about tips that you would give them for creating their most remarkable life?
Starting point would be whether you have to pay for it, and you might end up having to pay for it. I would say probably get a really, really good professional therapist. Mm-hmm. That is very good at what they do, probably is not 25 years old, you know, like has been in the game for a while and has a lot of good reviews, and also that you respect. That's probably the most important piece, because you're not going to follow somebody into battle that you don't respect or believe in.
And people don't know that you can interview your therapist before you make a decision. And I think that
it's
is
crucial.
Critical.
It's crucial.
Critical. I have interviewed every therapist that I've ever had, except the one that my parents gave me when they got divorced, similar to that part of your story.
I mean, Amanda, my therapist of 10 years, it was within 5 seconds I knew that, that I'm following that woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever she says, I'm following that woman.
Love that.
So it's like you're either going to know it or you're not. I mean, you got to follow strength.
Mm-hmm.
Like forget if it's therapy or not. If you're going to go into weightlifting, you need to be following someone that is way stronger than you, way more capable than you, but also understands how to meet you where you are. So that's vital. Whatever space you do that in, it doesn't have to be therapy. It could be like ballroom dancing, or you need to get good at something and follow something that you're good at, because you very much need to learn how to maximize your strengths. Because if you're somebody who is spending a lot of time thinking about what you don't like about your life, chances are you probably have like one thing that you're naturally good at that you're a little bit better than other people at. You need to go find the best place in town to get better at that.
You are
that
dropping
would be,
gems. Come on, Zach.
That would be number one. And then number two, to me, I think you got to have like some relationship with your body that is of your own vibe. So however that's going to be, like if it's going to be yoga, if it's going to be breath work, if it's going to be swimming, dancing, whatever, like your body,
Qigong.
Yeah. If your body is not something you like have a connection with, I mean, it's your body. Like it's attached to you every day, and you wake up with it every day. So
you share life with it.
You share a lot. Yeah. Very intimately.
Right.
So if like you don't even know how to interact with your body and like walk around with it and just feel like it's, if you don't feel like your body is yours, figure out how to make your body feel like yours. And there are people that can help you do that by you following what you like doing that involves movement of your body. That would be two starting points for sure.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Zach, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For coming and sharing your healing journey. And
yeah. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm so glad to see you again.
Yeah. We've come a long way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We'll see you soon. We will put everything in the show notes.
Cool.
And I look forward to connecting with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks for